real quick while it's loading. Just want to introduce myself. My name is Sarah Valentine, and I worked at Howard Brown Health Center in Chicago as a health educator. And while I worked there, I provided HIV testing and counseling services. Today I won't be reporting any HIV-related prevalence data, but I will be looking more at the rates of syphilis, gonorrhea, and chlamydia across multiple venues where we participated in screening. I myself did testing and counseling at the non-medical venue known as Bathhouse and also at the hospital, at the STD clinic. And I have no relationship to disclose. Just a little bit of background on Howard Brown Health Center. It was founded in 1974 by Northwestern University medical students for STD testing and treatment for gay and bisexual men. Currently, Howard Brown is the Midwest's largest provider of LGBT health services. Howard Brown provides a large range of services for the LGBT community, including primary medical care, behavioral health, HIV-STD prevention, case management, research, Broadway Youth Center, which is a drop-in center for LGBT youth, and we serve over 10,000 clients a year in primary medical care and provide over 30,000 units of service. A little bit about the mission and overview of Howard Brown. The mission is to promote the well-being of gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender persons through the provision of healthcare and wellness programs, including clinical, educational, social service, and research activities. Howard Brown designed these programs to serve gay, lesbian, and bisexual persons in a confidential, supportive, and nurturing environment. Howard Brown is also committed to working cooperatively with other community-based organizations serving and contributing to gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender community. The reason why we decided to report on this data was that we know that men who have sex with men, or MSM, are at high risk for STD infection in the United States. And for this reason, it's important to identify high-yield settings to screen MSM for STDs and also to determine the cost-effectiveness of where money should be put in funding screening at different venues. The data used for these prevalence rates was from the CDC's MSM Prevalence Monitoring Project, and data were routinely collected from MSM who received STD testing through Howard Brown programs. And the three different site types include primary care, STD clinic, and non-medical settings. Medical settings are referred to as the STD clinic or primary care. And the non-medical venues include bars, bathhouses, and also any other organization that requests us to come out. So a lot of health fairs and at some universities as well. Just a comparison of where we see most of our MSM population who come in for screening. 45% are seen in STD clinic, 36% are seen in primary care, and 19% are seen in non-medical settings. And between 2000 and 2006, Howard Brown tested 11,562 MSM for STDs. Important to note, this number is the number of tests that were performed, not necessarily the number of clients. First, I'm going to talk about our syphilis rates. If you look on the graph, you see that STD clinic and primary care both have about 5.5 to 6% positivity rates for these are new case diagnosis of syphilis. In the non-medical setting, there's a 1.5% new case rate. And it may seem that non-medical venues are have much lower rates. So, you know, what is the purpose of screening in non-medical venues if we get such high rates in primary care and STD clinic? And it is important to note that out of 2,212 patients who were screened for syphilis in non-medical venues, that we had a 1.5 new case rate, which would be equivalent of 33 new cases identified over 7 years. And this case rate is actually fairly substantial when you compare it to other jurisdictions' positivity rates. And also, this just discusses the, it may be effective to screen in non-medical venues because most likely those who are getting screened at the non-medical venues are not presenting with any symptoms. So we may be catching the disease earlier in its trajectory. Next, I'm going to talk about gonorrhea rates. You see here that STD clinic has about 12%, and primary care is down is about half of that at 6%, and non-medical is still down there at 1.6. Again, all of these are very high prevalence rates, and it means that we are meeting the population we're trying to target. However, you notice how primary care is about half of that at STD clinic, whereas with syphilis, they were comparable. Part of the reason for that, we think, is that maybe patients who are going to primary care are not being screened as regularly as they should be for STDs. And again, here on the chlamydia rates, you see that there is about 7.6% with STD clinic, about 5.3% with primary care, and about 2.9% with non-medical. Also note here the drop between STD clinic and primary care. Again, we're not screening as well as we should for chlamydia in primary care settings. And also the non-medical, you see that is much higher than the other STDs. A lot of the reason for this is that chlamydia is something that is prevalent in the community, but also often does not have symptoms. So it would make sense that we may find more of that population at the non-medical venues. Some conclusions. These data suggest the MSM screening program should target STD clinic and primary care venues for disease detection and control, because they by far yield the highest amount of new diagnoses. While it doesn't, again, I am reiterating a little bit, while it doesn't appear that non-medical settings contribute substantially to case identification when compared to other settings in this analysis, the prevalence of infection at these sites still warrants continued screening because it is relatively high compared to other jurisdictions that are screening. Again, possible reasons for variability across venues include whether MSM are presenting with symptoms or not. If they're presenting with symptoms, they're more likely to go to STD clinic and also more likely to have a reactive result. Whereas if they are screening just out of routine or they don't have symptoms, they may be more likely to get screened at non-medical venues. I do realize that some of this data may be counterintuitive if the assumption is that patrons of bathhouses are engaging in high-risk behavior, then we may expect to see higher positivity rates in that population and screening in those venues. And that was the initial reason that they set up a clinic in the bathhouse. however, we do find, I found, that most of the people who are coming in to get tested are not actual patrons of the bathhouse. They just happen to be in the area. So that may account for that may also account for relatively low positivity rates. Again, I don't know why the slide isn't loading, but one limitation is that all of this data is based on men who present to get screened. And so again, we have to keep that in mind when we're looking at, you know, how valuable different venues are. So there are there may be barriers to someone seeking testing services at a clinic. Somebody who wouldn't go to a clinic may be more likely to go to a non-medical venue, like a bar or a bathhouse or a health fair, because that's a better environment for them. They just feel uncomfortable going to the medical setting. And so that is why screening in non-medical venues, although they have lower rates, still plays a vital role in helping the epidemic. And again, future directions would be looking at the role of non-medical settings and also if these non-medical settings are not reaching the population they were intended for, there may be some reevaluation of how to reach the population that was initially sought. And also, in the interest of cost effectiveness, understanding, you know, where the money needs to go and whether there is if they're asymptomatic, how do we get people who are asymptomatic to get into screening initially is definitely a barrier. And again, this is my contact information. I'm now at Suffolk University in Boston, so I may throw you off a bit. So if you need to contact me, that's my email. And the PI for this study is Bo Gratzer, and he works for the Department of HIV-STD Prevention at Howard Brown. And his contact information is there as well. And I think I have time for a few questions.
Thank you, Sarah. Oh. Any questions for Sarah?
Yes.
We have one.
I was wondering, what types of social marketing testing do you think could get used into the
STD? I guess I should have mentioned that. This data was only for men who have sex with men. Generally, I mean, the average age was about 37. We have the Broadway Youth Center, and generally, if they're coming to get screened at Howard Brown, we send them to the youth center. So the under 25 population is referred there. Yes. So this data does not reflect that age group. Again, we don't turn anyone away. If they're under 25, we still let them come in and get tested. But a lot of the social marketing that they do is through MySpace and Facebook is really the new big thing. And just also the word on the street has helped a lot. Any other questions?
All right. Well, thank you, Sarah.
Thanks. I'll take this.
Okay, next we'll bring up Francisco.